Yes, hello, my name's Chris. I am from Restore down in New Jersey. I work with Jeremy for a few years, and so I'm glad to be with you this morning. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, as we take time to look into your word this morning, I pray that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our souls for what you would have us hear. Each of us may need to hear something different from you today, so I just pray you would reach out and touch us all. Be with us this morning. In your name, amen. This morning, in churches all around the world, all around the country, similar conversations are being had. Someone's like, how's your week? It's like, oh, super busy. And then it's like, oh, but how are you doing? Oh, I'm good, just very tired. Even as we're coming into the end of vacation season and some people are coming back from 4, 5, 6 day weekends, we still complain. It's like, oh man, I need a vacation from my vacation. There is an epidemic of exhaustion going on all around us. It's part of the reason why maybe a third of this room is addicted to a very potent psychoactive chemical known as caffeine. How many people wake up in the morning and the very first thing you do before you check on the kids, before you start some bathroom routine, is you start the coffee. It's widespread use. Makes sense because caffeine works by chemically blocking the feeling of being tired for most people. It's easy for anyone to say, oh, you're feeling tired. Why don't you just go get some good, high-quality rest? But getting good rest takes time, and it's a lot harder than throwing some hot water over ground-up beans or grabbing another Diet Coke. We know that being exhausted all the time is not a sustainable way to live. We know that we are called to live differently. When we get swept up in waves of work responsibilities and family responsibilities, kids' sports responsibilities, church responsibilities, and all the other brain-off work it takes to be alive, not to mention all the things that we have unilaterally decided that if I don't do it, it's going to fail. If we want to answer the invitation of Christ, we need to learn to live into the calling we've actually been given, even when it goes contrary to the world around us. One of the first steps is our call to rest. Found in the original list of explicit directions, we are given in the Ten Commandments. Let's read the fourth commandment, Deuteronomy 5, starting in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant or your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You need to observe the Sabbath. You need to find rest. You need time to take a break. In this, the fourth commandment, our call to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. In the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, I see it acting as kind of a hinge. Commandments 1 through 3 are about your relationship between you and God. And then 5 through 10 are about your relationship between you and other people. In the fourth, it kind of blurs that connection because it's about your relationship with both. On Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we ask, what does God require in the fourth commandment? And in response, we say, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God to hear from God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. I let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Being good Christian people, we can look at this and say, oh, that's from the catechism. It's important. I have to listen to it. I fully agree with everything it says, even when our actions rarely bear that out fully. It gets especially difficult when we get to that second half, but we'll talk more about that later. When Moses came down the mountain with the original tablets, you know there was a group of nerds who were like, finally, some rules to follow. I know everything I need to do to be a perfect follower of God. We know this is the wrong way to view them, but still many people live like this today. Instead of using the commandments as the guidepost, the calling post, they use it as an achievement, a self-assessment checklist. These are the 10 pass-fail things that I can use to let me know that I am better than everyone. I mean, that I am a good follower of the Lord. I grew up going to very conservative churches, and like many of you, experienced the complicated procedure of going to church on Sunday morning. We need to put on our best clothes to wear to church. As children, we're supposed to be seen and not heard. We can sit quietly and color our bulletin in the pew, and no one was allowed to go to work. You couldn't go to a restaurant on Sunday because that would be causing someone else to work. There was a whole list of things that if you were to suggest it, someone would gasp and say, oh, not on Sunday. Can't do that on Sunday. I knew a friend who wasn't allowed to play basketball in his driveway because the effort to improve was work, and work was not allowed. I mean, mom and grandma still had to make like a big Sunday roast and clean up after it and mind all the children. But it's a good thing no one did any work, right? Looking back, it all becomes so just performative. We live as if we're going to impress God. We have followed the rules that we kind of made up so much better than our neighbor. When the truth is, God knows what's going on in your heart. God knows what we were commanded and can clearly see why you're doing what you're doing. This is why we like the first part of day 38 of the catechism. It's a list of check. I can check it off. I did that. I gave to the poor. I went to the schools. It clearly points out the easy things to do. I'm pretty sure if we went around asking most people, even church people, what remember the Sabbath and keep it holy meant, most of the replies would be, it means you go to church. It's one of the easy ones. That's either black or white. You either did or you didn't. However, I would put forth there is much more intention behind God's word than just your location on a Sunday morning. Further, if we're total sticklers for the words used in Scripture, the one we translate as Sabbath is the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is the literal name of the seventh day of the Hebrew week. The Hebrews named the days of the week very conventionally. The way we do it in English is this crazy mishmash of modern Old English and Hellenistic astrology and Old English spellings. It's wild. But in Hebrew, the first day of the week is called Yom Rishon, which translates to day the first. What we call Monday through Friday has a very similar convention of day the second, day the third, day the sixth. And then something unique for what we would call Saturday. Instead of being called the seventh day, it is called Yom Shabbat, which literally translates to day of rest, day of stopping. Does this mean Christians have been worshiping on the wrong day for thousands of years? No, no it doesn't. It's not the Sabbath because it's the day you go to church. You may have time to go to church on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is a day that we live differently. Church on Sunday for Christians started as a weekly celebration of the day Jesus rose from the grave. When we turn any of the Ten Commandments into these hard and fast, simple rules, no graven images, okay, I'm not gonna build a statue and worship it. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, okay, no cussing. Remember the Sabbath just means go to church. When we do this, we ignore the intention behind them and we miss the point. And just like we miss the point today, they missed the point back then as well. From the original Ten Commandments, the people exploded the definitions and explanations into the 613 laws of Moses, nearly 40 of them going into every minute detail of what we can and cannot do on the Sabbath. I spent many years working with teenagers, and whenever a topic like purity comes up, the question from someone is always, where's the line? How far can I go with my boyfriend or girlfriend before it becomes a sin? Because I want to get up right up to it and trust myself that I'm not going to cross it. And the more we learn about people and humanity, we see our thoughts never really change from there. We grow out of asking those type of questions, not because we don't think that way. We just don't want to risk anybody knowing that we think that way. It's a lot easier to sin if you don't tell anyone you're about to do it. We want to get as close to that line without crossing it. It seems like as soon as the first rule is given to us, we start creating our own loopholes. There are products like the Shabulb. On Shabbat, Orthodox Jews are not allowed to engage in electric circuit because it violates the Sabbath rule of igniting a fire. With the Shabulb, you can turn on the light and then put a cover over it, and then just uncover it when you need the light. Traditional Catholics are supposed to abstain from meat on Friday, so instead they eat fish. which I would argue is still the protein-filled flesh of an animal, which I would call meat, but I'm not Catholic, I don't read Latin. And for those of us who grew up with rules about not working on Sunday or causing someone else to work on Sunday, it seemed like a lot of those rules went out the window as soon as you went on vacation. It seems like we get the strictest about our rules when our neighbors are around to see them or see us following them. Unfortunately, when we think like this, we again miss the point. We see ourselves as being righteous and holy and following the letter of the law as we've defined it, instead of living up to the spirit of law that God gave us. The book of James tells us that if we attempt to keep the law but fail in one point, we are guilty of failing at all. Putting on a picture-perfect show for the people around you only serves to hide your sin instead of dealing with it. No one was called to live under this kind of oppression. In fact, this is the reason Jesus came to earth in the first place, to free us from the law. In Matthew 12, a group of Pharisees is trying to catch Jesus off guard and claim his disciples are breaking Sabbath law. They were walking through a field, and the disciples were picking heads of grain and eating them. It's like, oh, you're doing the work of the harvest. Jesus responds by telling them, hey, this is what David and his people did. Do you have a problem with David? And they would never have a problem with David. And after going on from there, we read in Matthew 12, starting in verse 9, he went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. He said to them, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. The Pharisees asked Jesus if it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath, and Jesus replies, yeah, it's fine to do good on the Sabbath. It's always okay to do the right thing. And these exchanges with the Pharisees show how the Pharisees misunderstood the commandments. It was all about a priority of my own efforts, what I can do to impress God, impress the people around me. They wanted to do what they could to be in control, what they could do with their hands. When the Sabbath is truly about trusting God. They made rules around this commandment that would find the priests guilty, even though priests are following other rules given by God. If no one was allowed to work on Sunday, then pastors are some of the biggest sinners of them all. I'm sorry you have to see this. The Pharisees' rules about the Sabbath were so strict that they even assumed Jesus miraculously healing this man's hand was inappropriate. Jesus showed them that they had missed the point. So instead of changing their minds, they conspired to destroy him because we treat rules as more important than people. We focus on these questions about what is technically allowed, which we all do from time to time. When we do this, we approach the Lord's day from the wrong angle. If we remember that it is the Lord's day, then we will ask, what things can I do to remember the work of the Lord? The Ten Commandments and our call to remember the Sabbath is God's invitation to participate. When we turn the commandments into just a list of do's and don'ts, we worship at the idol of our own skills and abilities. We miss the aspect of God giving the people a path towards relationship with God, relationship with other believers. And in talking about believers, we always use plural terms, the congregation, the body of Christ, the body of believers. No one is supposed to go this alone. From the very beginning, we are told that we need one another. In laying out the catechism, we see the basic call for how we do that. We are called to diligently attend the church of God. This means we make church a priority. It doesn't mean you can never, ever miss service, but it does mean you do your best to be an active participant in the life of the community around you. You pray together. You learn together. You share the sacraments of baptism and communion together. You can rely on other people, and they can rely on you. We build trust in recognizing that no one can know as much as all of us. When we come to church, God provides a glorious place for us to find a common ground. Maybe you had a terrible week and you can be encouraged by someone that had a good one. Or maybe you had the good week and you can find someone to encourage through it. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that the world is all about me and lose connection that we need with one another. When the Catechism was originally written, the goal was to teach the basics of Christian living, especially to people who were new to the faith, people who didn't have 14 versions of the Bible on their phone. If someone is new, then having a rule about attending church is a great start. The best way to learn about anything new is by being around people who have been doing it for a while. But as we learn and grow, we can become the ones that start teaching. If remembering the Sabbath and keep it holy just meant go to church, then we would be done. It's a gross and gloomy day, and you're all here, so like double gold stars for everyone. But there is a second half of the Catechism that we need to address. There is much more to the Sabbath than how you spend your Sunday. The second part of the answer says, all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. As I mentioned before, the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which was the name of the seventh day of the week. Other days were called first, second, third. Shabbat translates to stop working or rest. God's original call to a Sabbath comes from knowing it is in our nature to never want to put our work down, never take time away. When Moses first came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments in Exodus, he was speaking to people who were most recently slaves. Time off is a foreign concept to a slave. So one of the first gifts God gives them is the promise that you haven't traded one slaver for another. God freed them from the oppression of Egypt, fed them, and promised them that there would be time to relax. When you're a slave, you don't get to make your own schedule. You get to decide, do what you're told, get beat with a rod. Neither of those are great options. And while physical slavery still exists in our world, those of us who will probably never face it have made things much more efficient. Instead of being threatened by someone else, we beat ourselves up. We let the slave driver live in our own heads. There are people who feel guilty anytime they're not doing something overtly productive. Oh, if I'm watching TV, I better be doing other chores or folding clothes. If I ever sit down, I'm being lazy. If I'm ever not up by 5 o'clock in the morning, I've wasted the day. If I'll only go on vacation, but I better have access to all my work email. This is not the rest we are called to find in the Sabbath. God set the example of the Sabbath from the very beginning. Right after God created everything, we are told, and on the seventh day, God finished his work and he rested from all that he had done. If God can take a break from the work, so can you. The commandment makes it clear that this is a gift that God has given you. Let's read it again. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. You or your sons, daughters, servants, your animals, the people who are visiting, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out from there. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It's easy to overlook, but God makes it clear that the rest is essential for everyone. This isn't a special benefit for a few chosen people. You didn't earn your rest because you're a better person. This isn't a reward. This is a fundamental dignity important for all of humanity. Men and women, sons and daughters, the people who work for you. If you are a manager, it is important that you make sure your employees find time to rest. This is for people you've known your whole life, people you have who know nothing of your customs. All of us are called to benefit from rest. So what should we do with this knowledge as modern people? Well, obviously you should make finding rest a priority. We keep the Sabbath holy. Sabbath meaning stop working, holy meaning set apart, a time set apart where you stop working. We recognize it as something different compared to the rest of our weeks. Thanks to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we are set free from the many old ways that hold us back. We no longer need to adhere to a long list of rules regarding what we can and cannot do on the Sabbath day. We are no longer required to keep kosher food laws or intricate purification and washing rituals. If following those makes you feel closer to God, then by all means, keep up. But one, they don't make you any holier than anyone else. And two, you can't judge other people who choose not to do that. We're told in Colossians 2, verse 16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. One purpose of the law was to show us that we could never live up to that standard. We are all sinners who need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to set us free from the worldly standards and the nasty habit of comparison. I had a friend in college who, one day he went to the gym and saw this girl he knew running on the treadmill. So without saying anything to her, he got on the treadmill next to her, and he set his speed to match her speed. But then she turned hers up a little. So he turned his up a little. But then she turned hers up a lot. And so he turned his up a lot. And it wasn't long before going at a dead sprint, and he is suffering. But he's not going to give up. He will not going to yield. He's going to win. And then the moment he was waiting for, she reaches over and turns her speed way down. And he's overjoyed. He's like, yeah, I beat you. I did it. I win. And shocked, the girl takes off her headphones like, what? What's happening? What did you win? Oh, hey, John. She was in training. She didn't even know that he was there. She was just doing what she needed to get done. And while he was going all out to keep up with her, she didn't even know he was there. When we compare what we are doing to other people, we lose sight of what is important. God didn't call you to live any life but yours. God did not call you to live their life. God called you to live yours. People destroy themselves trying to get what other people have, rather than just maximizing or enjoying what God has given them. This is the evil the second half of the catechism wants us to put down. When we work so hard to get what other people have, we misunderstand the things that God has given us. It is only in Jesus that we can find our life in the eternal Sabbath. When we find hope and rest in Jesus, we can put down the chains that bind us. Most people fool themselves into thinking, longer chains mean more freedom. Oh, I have a bigger house. I have more money. I have a better job. When true freedom is only found in having no chains at all. When you live your life at a sprint, trying to keep up with someone else who is not concerned with you, you never have time to understand what's going on in your head, what's going on in your life. All you can think about is the next goal, the next promotion, the next milestone, the next thing that you can achieve that will push down the bad thoughts that you're not doing enough. Before we go on, I want to give one small caveat to this. There are people maybe in this room that are struggling to get by. You find yourself taking on more than usual, working multiple jobs, all in an effort to dig yourself out of the hole you find yourself in. If this describes you, then I simply want to encourage you to savor and enjoy what the small bits of rest you do find. You still need a Sabbath, but you may need to find use the little time you do have more efficiently. If you keep chipping away, eventually you can be free and you'll find more time to slow down. But no one gets better by having more guilt or shame heaped upon them. However, if you have made it to the point of living comfortably, if you would choose to, the call to Sabbath is pointed directly at you. Especially here in the Northeast, there is a sense that if you aren't working your fingers to the bone, trying to get the biggest and the best, then you're lazy trash and you're going to get run over by the people willing to put in the real work. I've known far too many kids whose parents would have said, the only reason I work so hard is to provide for my family, when the truth is closer to lifestyle creep and poor choices. And the kids I talk to would all say, all they really want is the time and attention of their parents. There's never been a eulogy that starts, I'm so proud of my mom or dad. They worked all the time and died at their desk. I never got to see them, but they were working hard. A big part of of taking time to Sabbath is that it allows you to reflect on what is going on in your head, what's going on in your heart, and what's going on in your family. It's easy to overlook the subtle clues that something important is going on just underneath the surface because we're too busy trying to run up the score in a game with no scoreboard. We never want to take the time to slow down and ask hard questions. And parents, it may feel as I'm coming at you a little harshly, but it's because I worked so long with those kids who reached out to talk about their parents. Setting good habits in your life sets your kids up for a better future. You free them from needing to unlearn bad habits later in life. You free them to have healthier connections. You give them the skills to make it in a world that already feels like it's against them. And if you don't have kids yet, if you're single, this is also a message for you. Just because you have the time to do nothing but work right now does not mean it'll be good later. Doing it now, while it's simpler, will not make it easier to do it when it's hard. So practically, what do we do now? First, a warning. A Sabbath is not just your day off. We lose something when we only view the day off as a time to catch up on all the other stuff we didn't get to during the week. Don't fall into the trap of trading rest for consumerism and entertainment. Saying you've seen every episode of a TV show used to mean that you were a really big fan. Now it might just mean you wasted a long weekend. Going to your favorite store and buying things you don't need is also not restful. You might feel good after it's done, but that feeling doesn't last and you just need to buy something else. I haven't found the aisle that sells lifelong commitment yet. When we choose to Sabbath, we intentionally allot time to slow down, to get away from the grind of life, to check in with our loved ones. For some, this is not easy. You may not be able to jump in and take a full day of Sabbath. This just means that you work your way up. Start by taking a single hour where you don't do any chores, you don't work on any projects, you don't check your notifications. I want to give you one challenge for Sabbath. We've all experienced spending time with someone who is always on their phone. You only get their attention between alerts and phone calls and text messages. Let's not be that person. At some point in the next month, intentionally turn your phone off completely for 1 hour. Put it away. Avoid the temptation to spend time in distraction. One pastor and theologian, Kara Root, wrote a liturgy of cell phones. It's a prayer to remind us to focus on what is important. When we spend time together, especially as a Sabbath, we show love by truly paying attention. Her prayer says this: we surrender our phones to acknowledge that we are not as essential as we would have ourselves believe, and to recognize how essential we are to this moment, this conversation, this process. We put down our phones to put down the false belief that we can be more places than here, doing more things than this, and to commit to being fully present here and now. We turn off our phones to turn to each other and to the moment at hand with full attention, creativity, and welcome. May we receive the gifts of full presence and essential connection. May God meet us in this moment. Amen. Now your phone might not be a problem for you. It's just a symbol for our day that it's a problem for many people. You could have house projects that you're like, oh, I'm not spending time with the family because I'm going to this. Anything that distracts you from taking time away can be this thing that you need to take a break from. And whether you're with people or alone, you can find peace by focusing on being in the present, current moment. When we find rest, when we find Sabbath, we are trusting God to provide for us. Taking Sabbath is always an act of faith. We can easily fill every second of every day with activity and responsibility, our efforts to gain more. But when we take the Sabbath, we are trusting God to provide new and different and better opportunities for us in the future. Focusing on the Sabbath will sometimes involve saying no to things, even good things. As one pastor put it, when my family decided to make having a Sabbath a priority, we would ask, is it worship or is it rest? If the answer was neither, then we didn't do it on the Sabbath. This is where you must use your discernment. There are some things that you enjoy that will cause other people to wince, which means your Sabbath can look very different from your neighbors. We don't all have to have the same thing on our Sabbath. We find Sabbath rest anywhere we seek to find renewal and transformation. But renewal and transformation only seem to happen when we choose what we want most over what we want now. We must make the hard choice for what we want most over what we want right now. We live in a world of split motivations. What we call good one day, we call bad the next. Theologian Henry Nouwen put it this way: while complaining about too many demands, I felt uneasy when none were made. While speaking about the burden of letter writing, an empty mailbox made me sad. While fretting about tiring lecture tours, I felt disappointed when there were no invitations. In short, while desiring to be alone, I was frightened of being left alone. We feel uneasy when the routine of life gets interrupted, when at times the interruption is exactly what we need. We set our priority to be getting more and being more and doing more when what you might need is less. Some of the last words of John the Baptist ever recorded in the Bible are in John 3. He is speaking about Jesus and he says, Jesus must become greater, I must become less. Or another translation, he must increase, but I must decrease. When we put our full trust in Jesus, we are saying, let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit. The focus we have on ourselves gets pushed away because it's no longer important. We begin a life in this eternal Sabbath because we recognize that the work being done is the work of Christ through our hands. Our call to Sabbath began with a call to people who were recently slaves to find rest in their loving Creator. Under the freedom we found in Christ, we can continue that rest in faith that the world will not fall apart if we don't do everything. We can take the step to trust that God is in control. We may start off restless and tense, fearing that we are not doing enough, that we are not being enough, but as we try, as we rely on God, we will find peace that passes all understanding when we take the time to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Let's pray. God of rest, today we make the active choice to join into the rest you offer us. We choose to tune out the demands and deadlines, performance pressures, and screens of distraction that rob us of joy. We choose to tune into your love, into your worship, into your word, as we take a break from all that we would seek to distract us. Give us the wisdom and the strength to say no to the things that would break our Sabbath rest. Let us find joy in the beauty of the world you have given us. We take time to remember you as creator, as rescuer, and as friend. You have called us to be your people. We can't do that if we never listen to what you would say to us. As we go through our weeks, teach us to separate the time we work from the time we rest. Show us your power. Give us a sense of peace. We go forward in faith because of your grace, because of the grace you have shown us. Let us find eternal rest in you. Amen.